Good morning. Why don't you go ahead and stand if you're able, and let's worship the Lord this morning.
It's time to we're excited. This is Celebration Sunday. If you're new or newish to New Life, you may never have been to one of these before, but it's just a time where we celebrate those who are going to be entering into the commitment of child dedication, those who are entering into membership, and then we'll see a video a little bit later of the testimonies of those who are going to be baptized. And then later today, don't forget, we have baptism at the beach, all right? So just exciting things that are happening today. As the families make their way onto the platform, yes, get your pictures and all of those things, but I want you to tune in to a couple of thoughts as it relates to what this moment means. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy, we're reminded that the people of Israel are told by God to raise their children in a particular way. And that particular way is surrounded around this idea of discipleship of their children, of passing on faith from one generation to the next. And the way they teach them to do that is to bind the law of God on their wrists and on their foreheads and to talk about who God is and the law of God as they walk along the road. That isn't so they can simply just somehow brainwash their children. It's actually because they believe that life outside of a relationship with God leads to destruction. But life connected to the source of life, who is God, leads to human flourishing. And so a parent's decision to say, you know what, I want to raise my child to know and to love God, to have this deep, authentic relationship with God, is about that child flourishing, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally and all of who that child is. And so parents, it's a deep level of responsibility for you. And grandparents, it's a deep level of responsibility for you. But congregation, it's a deep level of responsibility for us. Because it definitely takes a community. It takes the body of Christ to raise and disciple our kids in the ways of the Lord. And so parents, and congregation, I want you to think about a couple of things. First of all, you might be asking yourself, parents, how do we do this? What does it actually look like? And the very first thing that I need you to know, that the number one thing in terms of discipleship, is that you would model and teach your child through how you live out your relationship with the Lord. Dedication is a commitment on your behalf to give your child back to the Lord and understand that as much as you love your child, your Heavenly Father loves your child even more. And so as a parent, your calling, first and foremost, is to live out your life in full surrender and dedication before the Lord. That before your child ever surrenders and receives the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus, that you have done that. That before your child is sanctified, you have done that. Before your child has been filled with the Spirit, you have received the gift of the Spirit and you are walking that out. And so modeling that, in fact, Dana and I often say that faith is caught more than it's taught. They will see Jesus in you way more than they will hear sometimes the words about Jesus from you. The second thing that's really important is that you would activate their faith and more, and maybe even more specifically, activate their giftedness. The book of Psalms reminds us that God has woven these children together, that he has knit them together, that he has placed his gifts and graces within them. And one of the most important roles that we have as a parent is to see the gifts and personality and wiring of our children and call out that and have them surrender that to the Lord. So when your child is squirming and squirrely and bold and it frustrates you, just remember that if they surrender that to the Lord, they will be bold for Christ. They'll be bold with the gospel. And so it's just important to remember that we get to call out those giftedness in our children. And then last but not least, that you would trust God. Hi, Sori. It's okay, sweetie. She wants to dance. You're allowed to dance. Again, we want you to dance now so you'll dance before the Lord. Amen? So the third aspect is that we would trust God. Because there's going to be moments where life is going to feel like it's out of control. Moments where you're like, I don't feel like I'm getting through to them. And in that moment, would you trust that the Lord loves your child more than you do. That the Lord is pursuing your child by the power of his Spirit. And he's constantly wooing your child into relationship with him. So parents, do you choose today to dedicate your children And will you commit to helping your children become fully alive in Jesus? If so, say, we will with God's help. Amen. And then congregation, we as the body have a responsibility as well. Will you as the body commit to praying for these children, supporting these parents, and encouraging these parents? Will you take an active responsibility in their discipleship and create a community and an environment where you will help these parents continue to disciple their children in the ways of the Lord to truly become fully alive in Jesus? If so, say, we will with God's help. Amen, amen.
Sawyer's ready.
Sawyer is ready. Yes.
So I would love to introduce to you guys, your church family. This is baby Sawyer, and she's in her very special girly dress for you.
You come here?
Yes.
Yes.
She's very excited.
Want to show everybody your pretty dress? Yes. And the way that we dedicate children is we have our congregation and parents reach out your hand to each child as we pray and dedicate them. Sawyer, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mark you with the sign of the Christ. I pray, God, that at an early age she would come to know you. I pray that she would receive your gift of salvation, that she would be filled with your Spirit, and the gifts and graces that you have placed within her, God, she would surrender those. That she would walk out her relationship with you, God, day after day. And that, God, there would never be a moment where she doesn't realize that she is your beloved. There would never be a moment where she doesn't realize that, God, you are with her. And so, God, we dedicate her back to you today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Now, we didn't get to, because I know she was ready, but we didn't get to say, I know you have family here and adopted family friends and all of them. You can stand up real quick and we can all say that, yes, we're going to wave to you. Good job. Yes, yes. And we have five generations of New Life here. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. Next is the most beautiful head of hair ever on a cutie little girl. This is Trinity and her cute little socks.
Yes. All right. Would you reach out your hands to Trinity? Trinity, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We mark you with the cross of Christ. God, we pray that you would meet her at an early age and reveal your plan of salvation to her, that she would receive that she would be filled with your Spirit, that the gifts and graces that you put in her when you knit her together, Lord, that those would come to fruition, she would surrender those to you, and that, God, she would walk out her salvation daily, that, God, she would not just know about you, but she would know you. I pray, God, that she would be surrounded by people who would help disciple her in your ways. And I pray, God, that she would learn to love you. And God, maybe even more importantly, that she would know that she is loved by you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.
And I know Trinity had some family. I just saw you guys. Oh, there you are. I was like, I just saw you. Family awesome. Here too. An adopted family, right? And friends. All right, Skyland, are you ready? We're going to pray over you,
so
okay, Skyland?
Skyland, how are you?
I think you can scooch up.
Yes.
This is
so Skyland hangs out at Young Adults with me sometimes, so we got to know each other a little bit. Can you say hi to everybody? Can you wave? Yeah, that's all right. All right, again, reach out your hands. Let's dedicate Skyland. Skyland, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, I mark you with the cross of Christ, that from an early age that you would know God's love for you through Christ Jesus, and that you would receive his gift of salvation, that God, you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, that the gifts and graces and personality that you have created her with and knit her together with, God, that those would be surrendered to you and she would walk out her salvation with you daily. I pray, God, that at an early age she would just know how beloved she is, and her life would be a response to her belovedness. That, God, she would continue to walk out the plans and purposes that you have for her life. And we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. We have loved getting to do life with Chris and Skyland. I was like, and you have a lot of adopted family here. I know the Cumarians have adopted you as like your own. Yes, so we love having you. All right, so next we have the K family here.
Yes.
And this is sweet little Bennett. Hi.
This is Bennett. And Pastor Joanna is going to come forward, and this is her grandson. So she's going to pray over baby Bennett, and we're going to dedicate him again. Reach out your hands to Bennett, and we're going to dedicate him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm just so overwhelmed, God, by your goodness. And God, we just lift up Benny to you right now, God, that we know, God, you have plans for his life. That he would know you, God, that he would sense you, that he would know that you see him, that you are walking with him, God, that you have placed him in the perfect family for him, God, with his big brother, Walter, God, that you have just plans and dreams for him. God, I just pray right now, God, that again, he and his family would know, God, your goodness, and that he would run towards you, God, with his arms wide open and just receive the love that you have for him. And that all his life he would remember all the people that have been praying for him and that love him, that are part of his story, Jesus. We just dedicate you to him right now, God. We love you. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Kays, you also have family. You have generations of him. Four generations here, right? Amazing.
Amen. So you might be thinking, hey, this is cute. This is nice. This is, a nice little liturgy or ceremony. But I want you to remind you of what happens when someone is dedicated in the body of Christ, grows up in that body, and then eventually receives Christ as Lord and Savior. This last Wednesday night, we had our students who were a part of an all-worship gathering. That's them. That's them on AG Field. And some of those kids have been dedicated here. Some of those kids have been adopted into this family. Maybe mom and dad don't believe or follow Jesus, but they have gathered here. And many of you have been a part of their discipleship. And so it quite literally takes the body in order to disciple the next generation. And so I want you to be encouraged that what we do and what has begun here, that the Lord will be faithful to complete it. Amen. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand and let's continue to worship the God who is faithful?
Thank you.
bless your name this morning. God, we just proclaim your holiness. We just recognize your otherness. You are just, there is nothing, no one like you. And nothing can satisfy like your presence. So we just rest in it this morning. God, we thank you that you are alive, that you are active, that the grave could not hold you, and that you are still moving in our midst. God, I thank you that you are moving in our kids and the little babies. I thank you that you are moving in our students, changing families through teenagers. God, I thank you that you are moving in our adults and our men and our women, that people are seeking after you with their whole hearts. God, I thank you that you are so active in our seniors. God, I thank you that you are still moving in this church on the Central Coast, God. We just praise you. We praise your name this morning. We just say, you have all the glory. All of it belongs to you. All we can say in return is that we love you. And we just ask that you would continue to bless this morning, God, that you would continue to move and speak to our hearts. We love you, and it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. I would like to invite the ushers forward to receive our tithes and offerings today. This is a spiritual act of worship. Sometimes it's the hardest one to do, but sometimes it is the sacrifice that shows God that he has first place in our life. And if this is your first time here, please don't feel any obligation. You're obviously more than welcome to participate in what God is doing here at New Life. But we are just so glad that you're here. We would love, love, love to get to know you, to learn your name, learn a little bit about your story. We invite you to stop by Connection Central. We have two in the lobby, one on the patio. We just invite you. We hope you will come back a couple times. Every week's a little different. God, like I prayed, God just continues to move in new and fresh ways every week. So we invite you back. We even invite you, if this is your first time here, come to the beach with us today. Come hang out at the beach with us. We would love to have you. In fact, if you're even slightly interested in Alpha, side note, there's a bonfire right after, so stick around. We would love to get you plugged in, answer questions, and just, you know, get to know you a little bit better. And our biggest heart piece here at New Life is that you would find a place to find other people, that you would connect with, maybe it's just one other person, or as Pastor Dan says, that you would just get around Jesus-y people. When we first moved here, which was like 11 years ago now, which is crazy, but when we first moved here, I knew one family in the whole Central Coast. And so I was like, I need people, right? I need some friends. And I jumped into Moms and Mentors. That was the ministry that I jumped into at first. And it just made this place feel like family. In fact, my mentor mom is still somebody, Laurie. I still call her and ask her for prayer. And she's just so... My heart is that you would find something to plug into this fall, whether it's a Bible study or a support group or young adults or Alpha, that you would find something to find some other Jesus-y people this fall. Please check your bulletin, check the Fully Alive guide. There's so many ways that you can do. Just pray about it, and hopefully you can find some other people that can come alongside you and walk with you. And at New Life, and just the church as a whole, we have this beautiful picture of what it looks like to become a covenant family together. And we call it membership, which sometimes can make you think that it's like a Costco thing, but it's not like that. Membership is just a way where we enter into a covenant relationship with each other, where we say, I've got your back, you've got my back. You know, even when things get tough, even when we might disagree on some things, we're gonna rumble about it, and we're gonna love each other, and we're going to move forward together as a family. And so here at New Life, we have a process called Crash Course, and we have an online version now. And these people that you see on the screen are all people who have completed that, and they have decided that they want to enter into a covenant relationship with our church. So we would just like to spend a moment of prayer
over each one of these individuals. So if you could just pick one of the names and commit it to your mind, and maybe throughout this week you could pray for them, that would be great. Let's pray for the Lord, to the Lord. God, we just thank you so much for the gift of the church. God, we don't always get it right. And we have failed so many times to be your body, to be the true representation of who you are in this world, to be your full body walking around this earth, pointing people to who you are. God, that is what we want to do. So God, we pray over each one of these people who have taken that step of faith, who have said, I want to become a part of a family, a spiritual family, a family that lasts in eternity. God, so I pray for each one of these names. You know them. You know their story. You know what they're going through right now. You know what they will face in the future. You know all of the days of their life, God. And so we just pray a special blessing over them. Would you just be with them this week? Would your presence surround them? Would you call them in ways to new and exciting things for your kingdom? God, I pray that you would put dreams on their hearts, that you would give them passions for the things of you. God, we thank you that we get to do life together. God, help us to just to do it well. We love you, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. If you're coming to the beach, we invite you all to come to the beach for beach baptisms, 5 o'clock today, end of grand. And we know normally when we have a celebration Sunday, you get to hear some of the stories of people who are getting baptized. And so we wanted to make sure you still got to hear some stories of what God is doing in the lives of people at our church.
Hey, New Life. Good morning. I'm Pastor Nick.
I'm Pastor Joe.
And this morning we're asking people two questions. Why are you getting baptized?
And how have you seen God moving in your life?
The reason why I'm getting baptized is I just want everybody to know that I give my life to Jesus Christ. With all the things that he's done for me throughout my life, I am so fortunate to be here still breathing and enjoying the church, my home, my family. I can't stop saying thank you.
I'm getting baptized because I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling me for a higher purpose. I'm starting to realize the gravity of life and how important it is to finally stand up for my faith.
Because I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life.
I'm getting baptized because coming from a Catholic background and now experiencing this kind of tradition and a personal relationship with Jesus, I just want to take this next step in my faith, and God has been moving over the last year of me being here at New Life in small little quiet ways, mostly at home, being a mom of four, and I just want to be a good example for my kids too.
So I found God when I was 18. I've been back and forth, up and down with him, and in the last year, he has really been working on my heart. He's been calling me to get right with him and make that leap and get baptized.
I want to be baptized because I really want to be closer to my Lord Jesus Christ.
I've committed to him a long time ago, and I've come back and forth to him throughout my life, and lately I've just felt really humbled by his goodness and how he's just really taken good care of me in my life. I'm just taking a leap of faith, and I'm trusting that he will make good of this, and he will continue to be there for me and show me his goodness and his love, and it's almost like the least I can do, you know? and it's an act of gratitude, ultimately, to go into that ocean and to show him, like, yes, I'm on board, and I'm ready, and I'm grateful and excited for what he has in store for me.
Hi, I'm choosing to get baptized today because I've chosen to follow Jesus and the Lord. He has given us signs, me, my kids, my family, that he's there, that he's always been there. Thankful and looking forward to joining the church family and being part of the community.
So the last couple of years of my life have been tough. There's been moments of uncertainty, heartbreak, fear, and times when I honestly didn't know how I was going to get through what was right in front of me. But through it all, I've never felt God's presence more. There's been moments where I've had this almost impossible to explain feeling that God literally was holding my hand through certain situations, not taking them away from me, but reminding me that I'm not walking through this alone. I've repeated Philippians 4:13 more times than I can count lately. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've actually signed up to be baptized twice before, and both times I found excuses. I told myself I wasn't ready and I needed to get certain things in my life figured out before I took this step. I needed to be somehow better or more deserving, but I've realized that God never asked me to have it all figured out. Before coming to Him, I kept waiting until I felt I was ready, when all He was really asking of me is to take a step of faith. I've learned that faith isn't about having a perfect life. It's about trusting Him in the middle of an imperfect one. I choose publicly to declare my faith in Jesus and something I want to live out, not just something I believe in privately anymore.
I'm getting baptized out of obedience to God and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
I want to get baptized to truly know that I can call to Jesus that anytime I need, anywhere, and that I can just know that He'll be with me wherever.
I am ready to be baptized. I would say it's been just over a year of truly seeking the Lord, meeting Jesus, taking the time to seek Him. And a little bit of my testimony, I feel like most of my life I have been a striver. I am a busybody. I've always been the career climber, and I have sought everything this world could offer, and I just always felt somewhat unfulfilled, I guess. I had a very classic saying of, now what, now what? And I always just thought that there was more, there was more, there was more. There's no more now what, because it is finished through Him, and I just have felt a peace in knowing Him that is unmatched in my life. And so it's definitely time. It's time to publicly proclaim and confess and accept Jesus into our lives as our one true Savior.
A couple years ago, God planted a seed in my heart that I wanted to show my dedication by getting baptized. Each time signups approached, I would get so nervous and not sign up. This time is different. I no longer need to be fearful, but fully embrace a life dedicated to God. Throughout my life, I've strayed so far away from God. I battled addictions, loss, and living for worldly things. Each time I felt like I couldn't go on and get through a situation, I would still cry out for God to save me. And each time He did. Every single time I put my faith in Him, He was there. He's always been there, always welcomed me back to His love. And I'm ready to live a life in Christ that I may also show others how amazing the love of Jesus is.
I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, but I never really knew what it was like to be baptized or when you had to be baptized. So once I went to Hume, it really made me decide that I wanted to be baptized.
I'm getting baptized because I know what it is like to live a life without Jesus. And I know that that's not the way I want to live ever again. And I really want those in my life to see that that's not what they want either. I've grown up my whole life in an atheist household, and God found me in the middle of nowhere for who knows why, but He did, and I'm forever grateful for that. And I want everyone in my life to see that living for God is the only way to truly live, and I want to be the reason why some people in my life may get saved.
So we invite all of you to come down to the beach tonight at 5 p.m. end of Grant.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. Can't wait to see you there and celebrate what the Lord has done.
I know, obviously, we have two services and not everybody is here, but if you are being baptized this evening, would you go ahead and stand and just let your family celebrate the move of God in your life? Amen. 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 We are so excited for you, and they will be joined. 53 individuals will make that profession of faith this evening. And if at some point during the day you feel the Lord stirring in you because you've received his gift of salvation and you want to publicly proclaim what has gone on, the gift of grace has gone on in the inside of you, and you want to make that public to everybody else, we encourage you, stop by either the Connection Central as you leave or even tonight. Show up, and we will get you set up to be able to do that. 5 p.m. this evening at the beach at the end of Grand. We're so excited to be able to celebrate all that God is doing. Amen? Amen. Well, it got me thinking. We're kind of in a unique season of the life of the church. You may or may not know that I have been here and my family has been here ministering for the last 9 years. It's just crazy to me to think about. And so as you kind of approach certain seasons of ministry and seasons of life, I think it just forces you to kind of like lean in and to press in and to seek the Lord in fresh and new ways. And so I began to think about all that God has been doing. If I think about baptism specifically, if you look back through, we keep historical records, and if you look back through the historical records, you would discover that in the last 5 years specifically, we have baptized more people in that 5-year span than any time in New Life's history. Amen? It's been awesome to see just how God has been working and how he has been on the move. We've watched, as you even saw the picture earlier, we've watched as our students have just found a way of seeking the Lord and worshiping the Lord that is contagious. And that it's not just, hey, students, gather here and come and be led by Pastor Christy and Pastor Philip. It's not just that. It's the fact that our students are going back onto their campus as those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent into their generation, and they're leading their peers into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just awesome to be able to see that. And we should celebrate that, and that is good. I watched as our kids' ministry has at the very youngest of ages, they've been being discipled. Not only are they being dedicated on the commitment of the parents, but they are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. They are being filled with the Spirit at an early age. They are beginning to lead in worship. They are speaking up. They're memorizing the scripture, and they're committing it to their heart, and it's beginning to shape their lives. And so we are just thankful for that. We've wrestled with this. But God has chosen to weave together just beautiful multi-generational community in a world where generations are divided. He has said, you know, we need each other, and we are better with one another. We've seen God add to our numbers daily. We've navigated difficult seasons and watched beautiful ministry come out of it. You may or may not know, but a couple years ago, we went through this thing called COVID. And it was challenging and it was difficult. And yet out of that season, God birthed a ministry vision through Pastor Joanna called the Encouragement Team. And out of that season, the Encouragement Team began to serve and minister to people in our church and in our community. And to this very day, from writing cards to delivering baskets to just words of encouragement, that our congregation, I believe, is being cared for in greater ways through the Encouragement Team post-COVID than it ever was pre-COVID. And so sometimes you're like, we would have this saying during COVID, like, God's not going to waste this. And one of the things that he birthed out of that, a very difficult season in the life of the church, is that I believe he birthed this Encouragement Team. And so I watch these various ministries that happen, and I know that in certain ways we are known throughout our community for our student ministry and for our kids' ministry, for our Sunday morning worship gatherings, for our ministry through the pantry. Do you realize that when we launched the pantry in 2020, it was January 2020, God began to stir in the hearts of Pastor Gina and some of our leaders, Carrie, and began to stir in their hearts to say, you know what, I want you to take this step to meet the needs of those who are under-resourced through food. And we launched that in January of 2020, and nobody showed up. We continued to open up the pantry each week and we would have maybe one or two people that would come. And then in March of 2020, the world shifted and changed. And what we didn't know is that God was preparing us to be positioned to be his hands and his feet during a season that nobody saw coming. And this last year, we served over 30,000 people through our pantry. Amazing what God has done. And so, yes, for some people, we're known for our pantry, but here's what I want you to know, that at the center of every single one of those ministries, at the center of everything we do as New Life, at the center of who we are, if you are new or newish, or this is your very first Sunday, I want you to know this. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says these words, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose," this is Jesus speaking, "my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say thanks be to God. That is at the center of everything we do at New Life, that God has come to give us life and life to the fullest, and that happens through Christ Jesus. And on the Central Coast, and some of you that have been to our new people gatherings, whether it's pizza with pastor or you've gathered with me around a dinner table, you know that we often say that we believe that people on the Central Coast believe that they're actually living a full life. They have the house and they have the weather and they have the family and they have the job and they have the career, as even was mentioned in the testimony on the video, right? And yet they still feel unfulfilled. And the reason there's this gaping hole, the reason that there's this disconnect, the reason that they feel that they're missing something is that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ in your life, you will always be unfulfilled. So the only way to have a rich and satisfying life, the only way to have an abundant life, the only way to have a full life is to place Jesus at the center of everything. Amen? But here's where it gets challenging, is that Jesus wants to awaken you to what that life looks like. I think there is a pattern at times in Christianity where people will pray a prayer or they will receive God's gift of salvation or even they will be baptized. And it's almost as if that is the end of the journey. It's almost as if that is just the climax of what they have spiritually going on in their life. When in reality, it's the beginning point. It's the starting point. It's the entry point into a life of fullness, a life of abundance. And I'm not talking riches and wealth. I'm talking about the abundance of being able to know the depth and breadth of who God is. That is what this is about. But it's easy to not be awakened to the fullness of that life. It's easy to pray the prayer and kind of move on how we always have. It's actually easy to pray the prayer or to receive God's gift of forgiveness or to be baptized and then hit snooze and never really wake up. It can be easy to roll over and pull the covers back up over our head and say, I just need 10 more minutes of my own way of living, my own life, my own way of thinking. There's probably a couple of reasons why that we do that. For some of us, we say, I don't need to. Where I am is good enough. And it's because where you are is all you've ever known. But what if God has something greater and more rich and more satisfying for you? You know, if you go back to John 10:10, there's kind of two things that you need to recognize. One is that the enemy's purpose, the enemy's entire being, the enemy's entire existence is designed to steal, kill, and destroy your life. It's not to make it just simply uncomfortable. It's not just simply to say, I'm going to make your life a little bit harder. It's not just to be a pebble in your shoe. It's his enemy's purpose, the entirety of what he is doing, is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But you also need to know this, that the entirety of Jesus' purpose, the entirety of what he wants to do in your life, is to make your life full. Abundantly full. Full of who he is and full of the kingdom and full of the gospel and full of your relationship with God. Full in such a way that it's overflowing. So your idea that I don't need to go plumb the depths deeper is actually robbing God of being able to show you the fuller life he has for you. The second reason why sometimes people kind of don't move forward is they don't know how to. I would say this is probably the most common. There's many believers who they're baptized, they receive God's gift of salvation, and they're like, I've lived my entire life. I've lived 15 years. I've lived 25 years. I've lived 55 years. I've lived 75 years. I've lived 85 years in the ways of this world, and I don't know how to live as a citizen of the kingdom. I don't know how to live as somebody who is under the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. And then the third reason is, for some people, they don't want to. And even as believers, and sometimes I've noticed that is because that when we live for the things of this world, many of us live with what's called a rebellious spirit. When we live against the things of God, when we push back against the things of God, it comes from a spirit of rebellion. And sometimes when we receive God's gift of grace, that spirit of rebellion likes to hang on. And for some of us, the reason why we don't want to is because somebody else has told us to. And we're like, you're not gonna tell me how to pray. You're not gonna tell me what to do. You're not gonna tell me when to go to church. You're not gonna tell me about this. You're not gonna tell me about that. And we push back again and again and again simply because somebody else is trying to disciple us. And we're so used to only listening to ourselves that we're not willing to come underneath the discipleship of somebody else. Now, I'm not saying you should come under the discipleship of anybody. But if that person is seeking the Lord and you see the fruits of the Spirit of them, then what does it look like to trust them that they might be discipling you in a way that would actually lead you into a deeper relationship with the Lord? And so at some point, there needs to be a shift. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the author Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's saying, hey, you used to be children of darkness, but now you're children of light. And read what it says. It says, this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I feel like in this new season, as for myself and for us as New Life, that there needs to be a little bit of an awakening, a reawakening of who we are in Christ, an awakening of who God is calling us to be, an awakening to where we're not just continuing to say, you know what, let's mail it in. This is all that God has for us. This is enough of what he has, or I'm not quite sure how to do this. And instead, that we would stop hitting snooze on the alarm clock and we would allow the Holy Spirit to awaken our senses and awaken our mind and awaken our hearts to what he has in store for us during this next season. And so over this next couple of weeks, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to be unpacking what I believe the Lord has been stirring in my heart and the heart of our team, our pastoral staff, over the last 6 to 8 months. And so I'm going to give you kind of an overview of where we are headed so that you might commit to being here every single week over the next several weeks, every single week, specifically over the next 4 weeks, as we unpack each one of these areas. And I know, I say that to somebody, some of you might be going, you're not going to tell me what to do. Well, then let me just invite you. Invite you to position yourself that the Lord might want to speak something to you. So I want to just highlight 4 areas that we're going to be unpacking. And I'm going to do this really briefly and at a high level because I want you to know that we're going to be diving in deeper, not just over these next 4 weeks, but over this next season of the life of our church. And the first area is this, that we would be a church that we wouldn't just be known by our events and we wouldn't just be known by having good Sunday morning gatherings or being known that we are in our community. Those are not bad things. They're just not complete. That we would be a church that would be known by the fact that we abide. And that because we abide, in Jesus or we remain in Jesus, he remains in us. That would be at the center of everything that we do. If you go to John chapter 15, we were reminded that apart from abiding in Jesus, we can do nothing. Not some things, not a few things, not a little things, but we can do nothing. And can I be real with you? We have some incredibly gifted pastoral staff, and we have some incredibly gifted lay people, and together, quite honestly, we can accomplish a whole lot on our own. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in the fact that we can actually look like the people of God without the power of God. That we would actually depend on our own strength and our own abilities apart from the Lord. That we would actually stop listening to what the Lord wants to do and just decide for ourselves what we think we should do. When Dana and I first got married, we didn't have money to go on some exotic honeymoon, so we waited till we had a wedding and then got some of that money, and then we went the next year. And we went to an all-inclusive resort in Jamaica, and it was fun, and it was good, and they had all kinds of different activities that you were able to do. And so we're walking along the beach in front of the resort one day, and we see a vessel called a catamaran. Maybe you've been on a catamaran before. It's, you know, basically it's got kind of two boat-like features, and this particular one just had a net across it and basically a post and a sail, and that was kind of it. And we're walking by, and this Jamaican guy goes like, "Hey, man, you want to go on this?" And I'm like, that was my best Jamaican accent. I'm sorry. But he's like, "You want to go on this?" And me and Dana as well, we have this really weird quality about us. We have an unhealthy way of not having fear. Like, we're in another country. This two people that we don't know ask us to go on a catamaran. It has no engine. It just has a sail. And we're like, "Yep, we're in." And so we get on this catamaran, and it's us and just a couple of other people in the ocean waters right before us. And we go out, and we're thinking we're going to go out maybe like 100 yards. Nope, we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going until I can barely see land. No engine, just dependent on the wind. And two Jamaicans who know how to put the sails up in such a way to catch the wind. I think that sometimes it's really easy to go really out far from the land and say that we have faith, but we're driving it by our engine. And I want to be the type of people that we abide in Jesus and he abides in us in such a way that we're not being driven by our engine. We just know how to put the sails because we've spent time with him in such a way that the Spirit, wherever the Spirit decides to blow, we're ready to go. And we're hanging on. And we're enjoying the ride. I think for a lot of us, if I ask many of us in this congregation, "I need you to pray for me," or "I need you to pray for a brother and sister that's going through something," or if I ask you to gather in groups this morning and pray for one another, I think most of us would know how to do that. If I said, "Hey, over the next hour, we're going to spend time in the presence of God and abide with him," I think most of us would get really nervous because we're not quite sure how to spend time listening. We're not quite sure how to spend time in the scriptures waiting. And we're not quite sure how to abide with him ongoing throughout the day. And so in this next season, that's what I want to lean into, and that's why I feel like the Lord is prompting us to lean into in this next season, is what does it look like to actually abide with him? The second thing that I just feel the Lord is stirring, and again, these things aren't rocket science, they're just areas of discipleship that I believe the Lord wants to grow us in. The second area is community. What does it look like to actually be in community with one another? If I look back over the last several years, kind of post-COVID, community has been a hard thing. Like, people show up on a Sunday morning and people show up maybe to a Bible study, but are we actually in community with one another? And as you look throughout our current cultural landscape, there's a reoccurring theme that you'll hear, not just from believers, but from people who don't know who Jesus is, and it's simply this: I'm lonely. and I don't know how to have friendships, and I don't know how to invite people into my life, and I don't know how to connect with people, and I don't even know how to carve out time so that I can actually have fill the gap of this loneliness with relationships, because I'm not even sure what should go away. And I think the world is trying to answer that question in a particular way. And the world is trying to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna teach you how to not be lonely, and we're gonna teach you how to connect, and we're gonna provide dating apps, and we're gonna provide friendship gatherings, and we're gonna provide, you know, wine tastings and this, that, and the other, and we're gonna events or things for you to do. But let me suggest to you that the world's way of having community misses one critical point. That the most essential way to have community is to have community where Christ is at the center of it. Where Jesus is at the center of that relationship. In fact, if you read throughout the New Testament specifically, what you will discover is that community isn't always a group of 6 or 8 or 10 people. Like even in the church, we've said, hey, get in a small group of 6 or 8 or 10 and you're gonna have community. You'll have your best friends for life. As an introvert, I love you guys, but I don't always need 6 to 8, 10 people. Yes, I do have that in my family. one of the things that I do think we see in scripture is that everybody needs one or more. Who are the one or more people in your life that you are not just having community with, but even, let's take it a step further, that you have spiritual friendship with? Like if you read throughout the New Testament, you see groups of people, one or more, who are on mission for Christ together, who break bread together, who pray together, who study the scriptures together, people who are one or more, who are gathering together on a regular basis to seek the Lord together and to be on mission for the gospel together. And so one of the things I'm praying that you will wrestle with in this next season is that who are your one or more? And not just your spouse. Your spouse is great. You can be on mission with your spouse. That's awesome. That's good. Who are the one or more people outside of your immediate family, outside of your immediate group even right now? Who are the one or more people that you are on mission with, that you are seeking the Lord with, that you have deep friendship with, spiritual friendship with? The third area in this next season, some of you are gonna go, well, I thought we were doing pretty well at this, but I wanna push this even further. And it's the discipleship of the next generation. And specifically, I want us to think about this. We currently live in a culture where when sometimes the older generation looks at the younger generation, there's two words that come to mind, covet and critique. They covet what the opportunities that the younger generation is getting. Maybe it's because they're replacing them in a job, or they're, you know, or a role or something of that nature, and they critique and they want to nitpick and pull apart everything they don't like about the younger generation. And it creates division. But we as the people of God actually have a different calling when it comes to the next generation. And it's to call and counsel. That we would call out in the next generation the gifts and graces of God they don't yet see. That we would call them into roles that they maybe not already aren't even ready for yet, but God wants to use them in. If you looked at our platform this morning and our worship team, what you may not know is that singing over here on the right hand side was Layla, who's a senior in high school. Back here is Kellen, who I believe is a sophomore in high school, playing piano. Back here is Jim, I'm gonna say, you just don't ask people their age sometimes, but I'm gonna say mid to late 70s. Multi-generation. We need to call out the next generation and give them opportunity to step in. They're not waiting to be the church, they are the church. But we need people like Jim who are coming alongside and giving wise counsel because they've lived life. And so there's this beauty that happens when there is an emphasis on the next generation, and you see it happen when a child is born into a family. When a child is born into a family, grandparents don't pout in the corner and be like, I can't believe there's another kid here. No, because everybody then has a role. everybody has a role in that family. In fact, when a child is born into a family, it elevates everybody's role because the grandparents of that particular family say, I now need to do a couple of things. I need to pass on the faith. I need to help raise this child, right? I need to make sure that they have wise counsel and they have direction and they have care. And guess what? I get to do all of that and they don't have to live in my house. For some of you have your grandkids living in your house. But that's what I'm talking about when we were talking about discipling the next generation. And there has to be humility both ways, from the older generation to the younger generation and from the younger generation to the older generation. And last but not least, that we would be a church that declares the gospel in word and deed. It was interesting. My son Xavier, there's nothing like this. To have your child be able to intern and try to discern a calling into full-time ministry. Xavier came to myself and my wife, kind of going into the summer and was like, Dad, I'm trying to discern whether or not I'm called into full-time ministry. And I gave him the same advice I'd give anybody who's trying to discern that call. I'm like, start doing it and the Lord will confirm it or he'll lead you in another direction. And so I said, hey, why don't you come and intern with us and get to an understanding? And what I saw happen during Xavier's internship is that his heart and his eyes and his life was opened up to the message of the gospel and sharing the gospel with his friends, his teammates, and his peers in a way that I had never seen before. And he went back to Northwest Nazarene University with a fire in his belly to see people come to know Jesus on his team. And he's wrestling with that right now. We're on the phone with him the other night and we're wrestling with him. He's saying, Dad, I just want my friends to know Jesus. He's like, they're walking around. My campus is walking around. Half my campus is walking around and they're dead and they don't even know it. Would you walk around our community on the Central Coast with a fire in your belly because you realize that half the people or more who are walking around the village and who are walking around at the farmer's market and who are down at Dinosaurs Park and who are walking on the beach are dead and they don't even know it? And would you have a fire in your belly that's not from you, but because you have abided in Jesus and he abides in you, that birth out of your time spent with the Lord is a passion for the gospel and to seek people come to know Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to take the step of faith in this next season to pray with somebody who you would have maybe never prayed for, or invite someone to church that you would have never invited, or invite them to your Bible study or into your space? And so in these coming weeks, we're going to unpack those particular areas. But right now, what I want us to do is I want us to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. And one of the ways that you can do this is by receiving the Lord's Supper. That we would say, God, I don't want this to be powered by just more effort, and I don't want this to be powered by just more of my grit. I want this next season to be powered because I want this next, you have so filled me with your presence that what pours out of me is in my mind are yours. The words that are placed in the passions of my heart are yours. And so when we partake in the elements and we break bread and we partake in these elements, what we're being reminded of is that we are consuming Christ, and that which we fill ourselves with is what will come out of our mouths. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward. You'll be dismissed from the front going to the back, and you'll leave your row on your left and return on your right. In the balcony, we actually have a new way that we're going to be doing this. So just follow your usher's lead. They'll be helping you to make sure it's not so quite chaotic up there, because I know getting in and out of your rows can be challenging up in the balcony. But as you come forward, I want you to have in your heart and mind, what does the Lord have for you in this next season? How do you begin to prepare your heart and prepare your ears and your life even right now that over the next 4 weeks that the Lord's going to call you into something deeper in one of those four areas? How are you going to be ready not to take hold of something, but instead that you would be listening and that you would have your hands open like this, ready to receive whatever God has for you? So the table has been set, and all you have to do is come and receive. Jesus made the sacrifice for you. He prepared the table for you. And you can come and receive his gift of grace, the sacrament of grace in your life. So starting from the front and moving to the back, I invite you to come to the table at this time. Thank you. Our final few people are served this morning. Just want you to close your eyes and just listen. That you might know that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who all things were created, all things have happened and will happen. He is also your Heavenly Father. Deeply longs that you would know him and that you would know that you can be known by him. So much so that he sent his one and only son, taking on the form of a servant, who was crucified on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead, declaring victory over sin and death. And that when we place our faith in him, we can have life and life to the fullest. The night that he would be betrayed by the sinfulness of man, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This bread represents my broken body. Take and eat in remembrance of me." So take and eat and remember Christ's sacrifice for our sins. After supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup represents my shed blood." The fulfillment of the covenant in Christ Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham. In him is life. In him is grace. In him is mercy. In him is forgiveness. In him is rescue from the schemes of the enemy. So take and drink and remember Christ's sacrifice. He said, "Whenever you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his life, teaching death, resurrection, and his second coming until he comes again." Would you stand with me this morning? I don't have all the details of what this next season's going to look like. I don't have all the answers. In fact, I would suggest I don't even know fully where we are headed. But would you join me in learning how to put up a sail? Would you join me in learning how to put up the sail in such a way that we catch the wind of where the Spirit is blowing, and then we hang on for dear life and say, "All right, God, we're all in. We're with you. Take us where you want us to go. Lead us how you want to lead us. Move us where you want to move us. Because I don't want to go anywhere or you're not going first." So as you go today, may you begin to prepare your hearts to receive what the Lord wants to do in this next season. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. See you at 5 p.m. tonight for some baptisms.